You're listening to Going Direct, presented by Cal Fire Local 2881, the podcast of the Cal Fire family. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Going Direct. We have a really exciting episode for you today. We are sitting down with four Cal Fire firefighters, all female, and we are talking about women in the fire service and the challenges that women face and the important role that they play in our department. Leading today's conversation is our District 8 VP, Liz Brown. So I'm going to go ahead and pass it on over to her. We're going to do a few introductions and then get the conversation started. Please enjoy.
Liz Brown. I'm currently a battalion chief in the City of Highland, San Bernardino unit. I've been with Cal Fire a little over 22 years and overall in the fire service about 30 years.
Okay, my name is Angel Hendry. I am a battalion chief with Cal Fire in the Riverside unit. I've been with Cal Fire 18 years, but going on 29 years total in the fire service.
I'm Megan Leon Guerrero, and I've been with Cal Fire going on 3 years, and I'm in San Bernardino unit.
Okay, morning. My name is Brittany Woods. I'm a firefighter 2 paramedic with Cal Fire in the San Bernardino unit in the City of Highland. Started in 2017, and I've been in Highland for about 2 years now.
Awesome. But let's start by saying, like, why did you first want to pursue a career in the fire service?
I'll start. I didn't want to pursue anything. I wanted to be a doctor originally, and through high school, they offered an EMT class. So the instructor was a firefighter. We got to do ride-alongs with this department, and I discovered the fire service. When I came through, there was no outreach programs. There was no fire engines coming to the school, no recruitment. There was nothing. So I just stumbled across it, and that's how I got involved, decided to pursue it in that way.
I actually was going to school to be a cop, and I...
That would be so you. Oh, my God.
I know. A gun... Glasses, that's all I need. Yeah. But I was obsessed with the TV show 911 with William Shatner. And I watched that show every day. And then one day I broke my leg playing soccer and the fire engine came and an ambulance came and picked me up. And literally laying on the soccer field right then, I knew. I was like, that's it. I said, I'm changing majors. And unfortunately, I was in a cast for 7 months and I had to have 3 surgeries. But once I healed, I changed majors, went back to school, started taking fire science, got my EMT. And then I was a volunteer for a couple years and haven't looked back since.
So I initially, it was not on my horizons. I went to culinary school after high school and I did that jam for like 7 years. And then I had my son and I am a full-on single mom. And I had my own business because I was a personal chef. So it just kind of was really hard. And I grew up around the station. My grandfather retired as a fire captain. And I've like hated office stuff and computers and didn't want to be like just confined to the same thing every day. I needed a little more adventure. So then I was like, literally just woke up one day and was like, I'm going to be a firefighter. And then I did it.
I'm kind of similar to Megan. Grew up in the fire service, had a lot of family members on the department, but growing up, like throughout my whole childhood, everyone asked my older brother, when are you going to take the test? When are you getting onto the department? And not one person asked me. So it kind of wasn't, it wasn't really an option for me. I'd never seen a female firefighter before. Grew up lifeguard. What's that?
Understandable, FDNY.
Yeah, not too many women. But grew up lifeguarding, and that was a good intro to kind of the paramilitary rescue realm. And like Megan said, I really liked being out and about, not being confined to an office. I knew that wasn't what was going to make me happy, but I didn't really know where to go. And I ran into a retired fire captain who kind of pointed me in the right direction of taking classes at the local community college and then kind of went from there, and it blew my mind that it was an option for me. I didn't start until I was 26, so it took a while, but couldn't be happier.
And fun fact, Megan, her grandfather who retired from the fire service was actually my captain when I first started.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Brittany's originally from back east New York. So when she really gets like going, she can bring back that exit.
I can attest to that.
Well, I guess it'd be kind of cool to see, how do you four all know each other? Like, do all of you in, yes, have you worked together in the past? Are current some of you working together now? Like,
yes. So Angel and I met through union work, and we hit it off. We're like two kindred spirits. People always confuse us one for the other. We wear red glasses, the whole nine yards. We're very similar. And
very similar.
Megan and Brittany, I was captain in Highland, and Megan had done an EMT course when she had changed, and we talked, and I said, you need to go fire academy, you need ABC, and she literally just went and knocked those all out. And so when she came to Cal Fire, she worked, I think, on a hand crew first, and she got on the two list. I was trying to reach out to the AO, like, I want to hire her. And we were able to bring her into Highland. Then Brittany came and took a job as a tube medic, and she did a great job and had a great personality. And so for me, like, promoting battalion chief now, being able to have that influence to bring more women in, that is my goal. Just from when I came in to now, there's more women interested. Now it's just getting them that last leg to be on the force. And so I'm going to do what I can to get as many women as I can into the fire service. And I love flooding Highland with females, because it's just a person's job. It's not any gender's job.
That's awesome. And kind of going off that, like the role of female mentorship in firefighting, how important and valuable do you think that is? Like, I know we have, or the department hosts Camp Cinder every year, which, you know, promotes young girls interested in the fire service. But if you're a young woman who signed up in the fire service, how important is it to have a female mentor in the field?
I think that's a great question for Brittany and Megan. For me, I didn't have that mentorship. All my mentors were men, you know, and I had a couple of female mentors, but, you know, they're from a different generation, a different mindset, and they were very good and they're very helpful. But I think now with those resources, it's a better question for the generation.
Oh, yeah. So it's very important. I actually met Liz at a Woman in the Fire Service seminar at the community college that I did my EMT and my fire academy. So I just like happenstance just to like run into her. And I think she just recognized my name for my grandpa. And then we connected that way. And like literally like since then, she has been my mentor, like, you know, helping me with my resume. Like I took what I had. She like wrote all over it. I redid it. I did the EMT, like she said. I mean, the only thing I did not do that she told me to do is go to med school. But because I just so happened to get the two, just the straight two call. And honestly, like medic being, I could have done it, but it's not like my full on jam. So
you're a street medic.
Yeah. Huh?
You're a street medic now.
Yeah, I'm a street medic. So that's fine with me. I can do that. But yeah, so it just is cool that she also, like, I worked with her when she was a captain, and, you know, and then now she's our chief. And, you know, and also like having Brittany there is super cool, because there was times when it was me, Liz, and Brittany like on one engine, and, you know, we get double takes all the time from, you know, an all-female crew, which is super cool, you know, because that doesn't happen. So
but we're, I think, also, you know, talking about how sad it is that how many looks we did get, and people are like, oh my god, like, it's terrible that it's still shocking in today's day and age.
Yeah, because, you know, it should be more common, but, you know, I don't know what's so intimidating about it, but, you know, whatever, they can look.
I was on a strike team. I was on a strike team up north, and my crew and I, when I was still a captain, we got out to go to the store, and this elderly couple stopped us. And the gentleman, he's like, oh, wow. He's all, they let females drive the fire trucks. And it that blew me away. And it took everything I had to not say anything. And I was just, I tried to be very nice. And I said, yes, sir. It's, you know, we do drive the fire trucks.
We
you know,
it's vote.
Common nowadays. I, you know what? I want to say I even made that comment, but I said it with a smile on my face because I was not happy with that. It was very shocking to me. But in my old unit, my partner and I, we were the first two female Captain House in San Diego when I worked there a couple years back.
And did people make
it? Which was kind of cool. What's that?
Did people make a big deal about it?
Well, you know, it was like some of the guys would be like, you know how they always make up little comments and names and stuff, but my partner was badass. Yeah. Yeah, the broad squad, exactly. But my partner was, she's awesome. She was dialed. So I'd like to say we were the best captain duo in the unit, of course, you know, that's what I want to say.
Well, and you know, and Brittany and I had this conversation the other day when we were on shift, and, you know, it's difficult because, of course, we want to make strides as females, and we're trying to do that. But it's not shocking that a female can do this job. It's ridiculous to even have that be a question. But Brittany and I had this conversation where some of the guys were saying like, "Oh man, you and Megan are so cool. Like, we got so lucky." No, motherfucker, you're not lucky. Women in the fire service are fine. Like, they're fine to work with. Like, I don't understand why that's even a statement. And so I think that's some of the stigma that lingers. It's like, oh, do you have a good female, bad female? It's like, you have a good puppy or a bad puppy. Like, that's the most ridiculous conversation ever. And so I always try to throw back on people. Like, would you say that about a male? That judgment, that statement, put a male's name in there, would it be the same statement? And many times, no. So that's where I get frustrated and why I want to flood the fire service with more women. As we should be.
Right, because they don't say that about the guys.
Yes.
Because there's some few, you know? And
yeah, there's some question marks out there.
They're out there, but it's just like, oh, that's just them. But if we have a bad day, it's like, oh, that's why.
Yes, totally.
Exactly. Or how about when they ask if there are different standards in the academy for us, and I say no.
Oh my god,
I have
that
to
drives me
the
crazy.
Same ladder and pull
right,
the
Brit?
Same hose. You know, that irritates me. You know, I got to pass the same damn test you do. There's no difference. You either can do the job or you can't. It doesn't matter your gender. It doesn't matter your height. It just matters if you're strong enough and willing and have the dedication to do the job.
And it's funny, too, because there's so many people out there, whatever their gender, that are just good for the fire service. They're just empathetic, kind people, and they like to be outside and they like to work out. And that's the kind of what the fire service should be drawing in. You know, it's not a specific type of person that's good. It's really someone that can have some resiliency and really wants to be empathetic and serve. That's all the foundation of the fire service.
I don't know. I feel women are absolutely emotionally stronger. Might not be physically. I mean, some of us are, but some aren't. But it doesn't mean we're not doing the job or can't do the job. It just means some men are just 6'5" and can bench 400. But I just think women are more apt to the understanding and what it means to work hard. Not that men don't. I don't know. Maybe it just goes back to the fact that we can be moms, we can be wives, we can be firemen, we can do it all. And, you know, people, I feel, sometimes can't wrap their head around that.
So,
you know,
it's something that I would love to address, the term fireman. I have come across. So I'm on a CalJack Women's Commission recruitment. We're in the fire service. I'm very proud of that. I love that committee. I also do STEM conferences where they bring in 8th grade girls and you mentor them about, you know, fire service and just being a female in a science industry. And just in my dealings around the country with different females, it is very interesting. That word does spark a very visceral response. And I feel like, and I don't use that word often, feel, but what I gather is it's such an individual word to each female in the fire service. I don't take offense to it because for me, it's the intent of the word. I have used it as just a statement, you know? But some people really take offense to it because of their experiences, you know? And so I'm kind of curious what all these ladies have to say about that word, because it really is such a controversial word in the fire service vernacular. And I've always been offended by people's intent, not by their words per se.
I love it. I love when somebody calls me a fireman. I think it's like firemanship is something that we talked about recently. And like that encompasses like being solid at your job. It's neutral to me. And when someone says you're a good fireman, I think that's like the ultimate respect. Like, I love that. I think it's great.
Is that because you want to identify with them, or is it just because it becomes a blind statement of, I don't care you're female or not female. It's mm-hmm. like you, like it's
you're
just
one of us.
Does that make sense? Because it does mm-hmm. have two meanings. It like, mm-hmm. like, oh, I want to be them, which we never will. I want to be them. Or is it about like, you're so like digging that I'm a good firefighter that you don't even care what the vernacular is. It's like, hey.
Yeah. I think it's just that a blanket term, like, oh, you're one of us. And there is no distinction between me and you. We're all firemen. We're all here to do the same job. And I've gotten strictly corrected in interview processes with other departments. And, oh, it's not firemen, it's firefighter. How dare you? Just like what you were talking about, Liz, and kind of the same with fire. I always grew up saying firehouse. That's what we talked about. Oh, you go to the firehouse, this and that. And I was corrected by other people in the fire service saying, oh, it's not a firehouse, it's a fire station. This isn't your home. And I love that, Liz, you have the sign up here in our station that says, this is your house. You are with your family. Mm-hmm. You will take your last breath together. This is your home. So it's I don't know, kind of the same principle of like, we're all in this together. There's no division. Stop trying to make it a divided argument.
I agree with that. Exactly. 1000%. I use the term fireman sometimes as one whole of what mm-hmm. our job is, not about I'm a man or I'm a woman, you're a man. Sometimes I'll use firefighter. I cannot stand. It's a pet peeve when people go, oh, a firewoman. I'm like, no, firefighter. But I will clarify that, but in a general statement of a whole circle, as of a whole, I do use the word fireman because it's just one encompassing. It's, again, it's not differentiated, but it's funny talking about fire station, firehouse. It is a house. We live there half of our time. That is our other family. Just like I have spent so many holidays at my station. My husband would come with my kids, you know, they grew up there. That's their house too. They know it. I go shopping. I'd always buy things in three: my house, my fire station, my out of county bed, you know, it was my way of life. So I'm with Liz on that one. Your fire station is your home. It is your other home. 100%. Those people, day in, day out, are your family.
And
there's just no other way to say it.
And I've been more insulted being called honey than I ever would a fireman. And I think that's where it comes down to. And not to diminish anyone else's experiences or trauma that they've experienced in the fire service as a result of this kind of, you know, using words to devalue somebody. But I think it's just important that to make that distinction that, you know, it's an individual response, and you do have to be respective and cognizant of other people's experiences. But I've been jammed up a few times. I got jammed up in Florida by this chief. She was the state fire marshal, and I was there for a charity thing. And I said, she's like, I know she used fireman, and she didn't take offense, but she was really curious about why I used it. And I said, I just haven't had that experience in the fire service. I have not been devalued in the fire service. And so I just don't see it as this thing, you know? But it's crazy how much that has come up in over the years.
Yeah, I think when I first got to Highland, we went on some PR thing to, I forget, maybe it was like career day at one of the schools. And they were like, oh, here are the firemen. And, you know, I'm right there. And you know, the guys that I was with, oh, I think it was like a Chamber of Commerce dinner. And we went like, oh, the firemen. And I was like these two 6'4" guys. And then when we left, they're all like snickering at me. They're like, ha ha, you're a man, like, you know, just being jerks. And, you know, so then it became like a running joke. Yeah, it just became a running joke. And I was like, I can't believe the disrespect. It is a fire person. So then, like, so now, like Brittany said, we just had firemanship training. And I was just like, firepersonship training coming, guys. Let's go to firepersonship. And then I'm like, fireperson's axe is sharpened, guys. Like, and I just, it's just a running joke because, you know, they're like, haha, they called you a man. And I'm like, okay, well, guess what? We're all fire people now, you know? And honestly, it really doesn't bug me at all, but I know it bugs them. So I like to say it.
And that's the main point. As long as we can make their lives miserable,
yeah,
we're succeeding. So as we're progressing the fire service, you know, when Kelly came to me about this idea, I really wanted to have like an older generation of fire, you know, fire women, firefighters, whatever you want to call it, and then a younger generation, because I really think it's divided. I'm, you know, Angel and I are like kind of on the back end of our career, so we have a different longer perspective and mindset. My mindset now is more philosophical than it was like hard and fast. And so I'm curious to see what Brittany and Megan think about their view of the fire service at such an early stage in their career.
Yeah, I can't speak for, sorry, your guys' experience, but I imagine that there are a lot more opportunities to get women into the fire service, and it's a lot more comfortable with camps like, you know, fire camp, Cinder, and all these different things that have like an intro program for women. I'm assuming that wasn't around for you guys when you were coming up. So that would be, it's a lot more friendly, I would assume, for most women. And like we were talking about the...
But your experience in the fire service now, like, do you feel accepted? Do you feel valued? Do you feel like you're part of the crew? Do you feel like there's, you know, still statements being made like, oh, a female, oh, sorry, they have to stop what they're saying. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to offend you about what I just said. Are those things still occurring?
I think that does happen. Like say we get an overtimer that I've never worked with before, and they say like a weird joke. I've had like the person that is from my battalion, like, pull me aside and be like, he asked like if you were offended by what he said. I was like, what did he even say? And then he's
right, that
like,
happens all the time.
And but I'm like, didn't come to you directly, right? They had to use an intermediary. That's hilarious.
And I'm just like, I don't even remember what you said. Like it's not even like that big of a deal. But then to that point, you know, like just to get under their skin, like I'm like, oh my God, I cannot believe you said that, you know, because I'm just like, you're making it such a thing, like, and it does not have to be a thing. Like, I think that like when we come in, there's a lot of stigma, like
that women
they
are
accept us to fail.
Yeah, that women are filers. That's my biggest stigma that I hear.
And yeah.
Honestly, like being on the union side of the house and repping people, men file against men. It's not the women filing unless it's totally egregious. Then the woman's like, I have no option. I need to, you know. But honestly, it's men filing against men. It's hilarious how sensitive they are with each other.
Yeah, and I think that they just like if they just treated everyone like the same, like honestly, like it would be fine. It doesn't have to be so like, oh, I can't say this around, you know, the girls or whatever. Like at the end of the day, like I do think that we are one of the boys, like we're in the boys club, like we can hang. And I think most people going into this profession, like have that personality type and already know like
what they're getting
like,
into.
They just fit. So it's like not such a weird thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be, because it doesn't matter what the profession is. If somebody is downright disgusting and disrespectful, it doesn't matter if it's to the same sex or to the opposite sex or what your job is.
Yeah.
I mean, harassment is one thing. Having a good time and joking around with the people you go do the worst things with, you know, and see the worst things and climb the worst hills with. It's just your way of releasing and having fun. And it doesn't matter, you know, for me, you know, I was all about, I would tell the guys at the station, if I do anything to offend you, please let me know. Other words, don't take anything I say personal. You know, we're a family. We need to be able to talk things out. But when people always say, oh, I hope I don't offend you. Trust me, first of all, son, I'm going to tell you if you offend me, you know, let's make that very clear. But I think when people say, oh, you know, you got to always watch it because there's a female in the station or whatever. It's not that way at all, you know?
And I think
it's not.
And I agree with you, Angel. I think that's critical because it's not like that in every fire department. And I think at Cal Fire particularly, a lot of those trials and tribulations have already been fought decades before us. And so that was one of the reasons I stayed with Cal Fire. I started with the local government as an explorer reserve, and they eventually annexed to LA County. So they were dissolving the reserve program. And one of the guys, he's like, oh, I used to work for CDF. You should go there. It's a great resume builder, blah, blah, blah. I'd be a seasonal. I'm like, oh, okay. I had no idea what it was. And so I applied. And, you know, when I was a reserve at El Monte, I was treated different. And I wasn't treated bad. I was just absolutely isolated, treated different. I could one captain wouldn't even let me get off on calls. He was so worried about me getting hurt. I don't know. So going to Cal Fire and at CDF at the time, becoming a seasonal, like, there wasn't even a question. It was just like, can you do it or not do it? And I had such a different vibe. And not that they were, like, super nice and kind. CDF back in the day was pretty mean. but at the same time, I felt valued as opposed to separated and isolated. And so that's when I knew, like, I'm staying with Cal Fire. And to that point, and I think Angel can speak to this also, to that point, I feel like I've had the fire service career a lot of my gal friends in local government haven't been able to have, like, for sure the diversity, but just the access, the promotability, the access to union, being a union leader, like, that's not common for females in the fire service. We're seeing more, but it's not common. And so I think being able to have my coworkers want me to defend them when they're at their weakest, that's like, I cherish that. I think that's very valuable and very, like, uplifting that I'm doing something right, where I have friends in local government that don't have that experience. They just kind of go through their career. You know, they do promote, but depending on the size of the department, maybe not that much. It's much more difficult. So I knew right away that I had stumbled onto something great, and I do value Cal Fire. And it's, you know, for me, it's the best department for me.
I guess then to kind of follow up on that more, since you have, you know, you are more on the tail end of your career, like, what are some big changes you have seen? You kind of touched on it a little bit, but for women, like, what, when you started back to now, what are some of, like, the big things you've noticed that are different?
For sure, the recruitment, you know, the, like, the management side of the house, whether it's at the unit level, region level, or even Sacramento level, are wanting the diversity. And it's not only driven by California. This was, you know, back in the 2007s, you know, but when the economy tanked, all that funding went away. So for several years, there's this reflex of nothing. And for me personally, I got to a point where I was like, there's no more women here. As I look around after 15 years than there was when I first started, like, that's a problem. And that's when I start trying to get involved and do more things to recruit more women, because I'm like, this is not going to work. And so me trying to get more females into Highland and you know, and show, like, they are in a crazy busy contract and they see some crazy stuff and they're fine, you know, thriving, not surviving, they're thriving and are valued by their coworkers who are in the middle of the same muck as them. And so that to me is important, that it's not just a female that can survive. Like, I want to put as many females there to show, like, it doesn't matter. It's the person that wants to do the good job.
I was a captain with another department when I came over on the contract, and I loved coming over as a captain. But again, this was also 18 years ago. When I went to COA, it was funny because technically, and it wasn't me per se, but because I had come over on as a perm employee, when I went to COA, everyone's like, oh, it's okay. You don't have to pass. You're fine. You've got permanent status. And I thought, there is no way on God's green earth, especially as a woman, I would ever give anybody that satisfaction. I go, I am here for a reason, and I'm here to do the same job. So coming over as an equal, I don't care what the position is. I'm going to prove myself that I am worthy because I have self-respect. I want to be looked at as a team player, as a hard worker, somebody, you know, that knows their job and knows how to do it, not because I'm a woman, not because I'm a man, but because I'm good at my job. And I liked that about coming over as a captain and being equal with everybody. But and coming over from another agency, I mean, I'm not going to lie, I had things I had to learn. I was used to two different engines, and coming over to Cal Fire at the time, there was like 6 different engines I had to learn to drive, pump, and, you know, repair.
I mean, there's so always a learning curve, but I mean, and I'm talking more, not the nuts and bolts. I'm talking about your treatment by Cal Fire versus local government.
Oh, I had no issues. Cal Fire treated me great. They treated me as an equal because of my rank. And my other agency, I busted my ass to become a captain. And everybody there was great. I had no issues. I was the only female at my station. There was a couple of volunteers here and there, but I was the only female there. So I was treated with respect because I earned what I had.
That's good. Now, I'm curious, Brittany and Megan, for you guys, what have been your experiences with like testing for other departments, if you have, and just versus Cal Fire? Do you feel like you made the right decision? Do you feel like you'd stay at Cal Fire? Like, what does that look like for you girls as you guys are like brand new into your career? Because we do have a lot of people leave Cal Fire.
Yeah, I think that like I said, like I grew up around Cal Fire. So when I was like, I'm going to do this, I really did not have my heart set on any other department. Like the Cal Fire was just what I knew. Like, and, you know, I was used to like the scheduling and, you know, just going, you know, visiting my grandpa at the station. Like, I think that it made me comfortable, I've seen it. I've seen them do it, you know, whether it just be visiting for dinner or something. So
and I remember that. I remember you being a little girl coming, and I feel really old because of that. But I do remember her coming to the station. I'm like, oh my God, it's so crazy.
Yeah. So I really, and I know everybody told me like, just apply for everywhere. But I really was like, no, I don't want to. I don't want to test for anywhere else. And awesome. So I didn't. And when I came in, like I came in as a seasonal and I was on the hand crew for a season. And that was a little different because like from being a seasonal on the hand crew versus like being in Highland coming in, like I think is like 2 different experiences, because on the hand crew there was like a lot of Fed guys and that would just not give me the time of day, you know, like, oh, you probably can't hike or whatever, you can't be on the saw or what, you know, whatever. And then eventually like I, you know, did out hike everyone and, you know, I did end up being on the saw and then I got like a little more respect, but so I had to like,
so when you came to Highland, yeah, you had to prove to them, but when you came to Highland, do you feel like you still had that same like pressure?
No, so that's what I'm saying. Like, I think in Highland, people were a lot more inviting because it is different because you're not a firefighter when you're permanent, you know. There's still, you know, I had already gone through FFA before I went, you know, versus like some people will go to, you know, be basically like an LT and then they'll go to FFA later. So then everyone's like, ooh, are you going to pass type of thing? But like I had already passed FFA. So I was like, I think everyone was a little more accepting. I don't think that I got any like backlash from being there. We do have like a great group of people, so like that's very lucky. I know there's places where there's not, you know, I guess that's just kind of the luck of the draw. So I think my experience has been pretty fortunate.
Yeah, how about you, Britt?
Yeah, I think compared to a lot of other city departments that I've been exposed to, Cal Fire is for sure the right decision for me. I have a lot of friends that work for big cities and I tell them stories about, oh, my work week, we did this and we did that and we joked and we laughed around, and it's like hanging out with my friends every day and going to crazy calls and having a really good time, and they're like beating puppies at the end of their 24-hour shift because they worked with 3 people who are complete strangers to them and their coworkers. Whereas Cal Fire, it's family. It's very, very different. Usually, you know, you walk into a room at a city department and people don't give you the time of day. It's usually the youngest firefighter will acknowledge you and speak with you. Everyone else just walks out of the room. They won't shake your hand. Cal Fire, the chiefs walk up to you, they introduce themselves by first name. It's like completely different, way more comfortable here, way more family. And I was a seasonal in San Diego when I started, and I left to go to medic school. Everyone was like, oh, this is your golden ticket. You can go to any department you want to now. And I came back here because for that reason, it's fun. I have fun at work every day. I'm hanging out with my closest friends, and it's, I think I'm really, really lucky. We're lucky here for sure.
Yeah, I definitely value that about the Highland contract particularly. And I know Angel tries to foster this as well, but like, I value the familial aspect of fire service. I love like having group dinners. I love having like holidays where people bring their families in, because I think it's so critical for the family to experience the firehouse as well. And so we're trying to have a meal and people get calls and, okay, I'll be right back, honey. You know, the kids are spider monkeying the engine. I love that because I think A, it gives a positive reinforcement, like they're part of that big picture as opposed to isolating them. So they don't know all what their husband does or spouse or wife or whatever. And then the kids don't know either. But when they hear the bell go off and they see their you know, parent run off to go do an emergency, like there's something, I think, of value in that. And I think also in a society now where everything is just so arm's distance, you know, the fire service and our job in general cannot be arm distance. And I think by bringing all that in and making people like break bread together and make them look each other in the eye. And when they promote, we do stuff for them. I'm trying to instill in the younger generation to keep that. Don't like go hide in your room and just be on your phone all night. Like let's do things together. Cause A, it builds a team, but it also provides that mentorship and leadership. So then it becomes a seamless thing on a call.
I agree totally. Like I was always having my kids there. My kids knew my guys, you know, by first name and, you know, what made them laugh and little jokes between them. And I was on one, I had a 4th of July standby. And so my husband and kids came because it was actually really close to where I lived. And some of the fireworks started a little brush fire. So, you know, I jumped in the engine, took off, we went, you know, and extinguished it. And my son, oh my God, you would have thought I took him to the World Series. He was so excited to see me go and actually fight a fire, even though, you know, it was just a bush. But I got teary-eyed because my son saw me in a different light. I mean, he was always at the station, but he saw me as mom at the fire station. To see me as mom, the firefighter, there's no comparison to that. You know, that was amazing. I'm all about family. And I would always tell my guys, your family is more than welcome here anytime. Have them come over for lunch. Have them come over for dinner. I want those families to feel comfortable at the station because we are living with their family half of the week. So I want them to know that that's a safe place, that they are more than welcome to be there. And if their kids are running around screaming, then those kids are going to be running around screaming because they're excited. And I never had a problem with that. I always thought that's how it should be, you know? So when some of the guys would be like, hey, Cap, sorry, my kid's running around. I'm like, no, you're fine. Just, you know, let him be. You know, we had balls. We had toys for all the kids when they would come by. And that's how it should be. I want the families to be comfortable. We take so much of their family away from them during fire season or because of our schedule. I want them there at any time. You know, our house, their house. And I was always very adamant about that.
So for Brittany and Megan, I'm curious for you guys, what is, now that you're coming in, you know, to the, you know, to the fire service and having your prior experiences and seeing those core values of fire service, what do you think that'll do for you as you progress and promote on in your fire service career? Like, are those things you value? You see the benefit? Like, what does that look like to you?
Yeah, no, I really like that. We do group things a lot. Like, I love when we all get together and we go to breakfast and then we go to dinner and we barbecue and then everyone's playing basketball. And when people's families come, like, because you do get to know everybody, you know, and extensions of them.
That's huge for you.
Yeah. And so, you know, I'll always, you know, talk to my son about, you know, things that happen, or I'm FaceTiming him and I'm like, oh, I gotta go, there's a call. And then he's just texting me, what happened?
are they hurt? Did you go to a fire? And like now, or I just recently got a GoPro and we've been having fires. So I show him all the stuff. And then he's like, can I be a firefighter and work with you? And I was like, maybe, probably, honestly, like, you know, so now it gives him something to look forward to as well. So I want to keep that going and keep, you know, if we can keep this like family dynamic going with like the battalion to when we all promote or when like me and Brittany promote, like that would be great because it is important. And I think it does build better relationships because you are working with these people and you are living with them. And it just makes the time go by so much better because you're just hanging out with your friends.
Yeah. Now you were on the engineers list and I know you've turned down a couple of jobs because Highland is so amazing, little plug.
Right.
But like when you promote, like what does that look like to you? What are some of the key things, like pick two things that you would like to like instill in your leadership when you have your own station?
When I decide to promote, I think I'll keep like at least like once a shift. Like I know depending on where I go, just get stations around to get together for like a barbecue or, you know, go. I know when I was on the B side, we would get together with the other crews and Phelan and Yucca and we'd have like a giant ultimate frisbee tournament. Like we would go to like the local high school, whatever. And I thought that was super fun. So if we could do that, you know, that would be awesome. And I think, you know, yeah, having those family days so that everyone gets to know each other, because it is true. Like I have a hard time like hanging out with my friends all the time because they have normal people schedules. And I don't, you know, like, and I'm just like, oh my God, how lame. Like I'm off on a Tuesday. I want to go hang out, but I can't because my friends work 9 to 5. So
yeah,
when you do have people who have the same schedule as you, like I've heard like firefighters only hang out with firefighters, and it's true. Like you do, because you just have the same schedule and it's easier, you know, like, so I love like, you know, us at Highland and Battalion, like we've hung out a few times out of work and I think it is like so fun. And you know, it's hard to get everyone out, but you know, I think keeping that family dynamic I think would be my number one thing.
What about you, Britt? Same question.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think once a week doing training together so we can kind of get that side of the job out of the way and work on what we need to work on and keep the battalion strong on the firefighting side. And then meals once a week would be awesome too. That's something that I've never heard of in any other battalion, any other department, that they get together as frequently as we do. My friends that work for other departments are kind of blown away by that. And I think it shows in how we take care of each other. Everybody's got, you know, personal lives going on. And I think you're more likely to help each other out when you do have kind of insight to what people have going on at home. And we're all willing to bend over backwards for each other because we are close and we do get to know each other and our families. And I think it's really, really important to keep that going.
You know, going back to what you guys were talking about meals, I was obviously in a bee house and we ate all our meals together. But my big thing at my station was the table was a safe place for us. You know, that was where we could, one, solve the world's problems, which we did every day with the most amazing ideas ever. It's like, I don't know how we're not running this world personally. But, you know, that was where we could say what we wanted to say without, you know, hurting someone's feelings. Or if we had an issue, we could talk about it. And as a family, because that's what we were there for. You know, you didn't want any type of animosity. You wanted to be able to talk, get it out in the open, solve a problem. But that's what we always said. The table is a safe place. Safe place, safe place. That's where anything goes and people can feel comfortable. There's no judgment, never to be ashamed, because we're a family. And, you know, it's just...
It's so true. And, you know,
yeah.
And I think being a female, like we just tend to do a lot more things. And so I think it is like having more females in the battalion, they're much more like active. They want to do the meals. Like we did this gingerbread house competition in Highland, and you had a gingerbread house representative of your district. And it was phenomenally awesome. I could never post what was done to those poor gingerbread houses. However, it was so amazing. And so I made it a competition, and I just bought $10 worth of gingerbread houses. And Megan and Brittany were like, okay, we're doing this. And then all of a sudden the guys got into it. And then it became this totally collaborative thing. And it far exceeded my expectations, because you never know how those things are going to hit.
Right.
And everyone I show it to, they're like, oh my God, that's the most amazing thing ever. Cause everyone just put so much heart and soul into it. And it was sparked on by the ladies. And I just think that's really critical, because men sometimes need a little guiding hand. Mm-hmm. And when you have a good, strong, confident female around, it's just like it really does benefit a station. And so as you move forward, as you're in the fire service, what do you see or can do yourself? What does that look like to you to bring more women in the fire service? Do you think we need more women in the fire service? And some of the calls, some of the benefits of being a female on scene versus a male?
We bring a more sensitive side, and not in a negative way. Back to the first question about, do we need more females in the fire service? We need more of people who are willing to do the job and do it well, whether it's male or female. But I feel as a woman, we can sometimes be a little bit more sympathetic and understanding, where sometimes men could be a little bit more impatient on certain types of calls. So going back to, like you just said, Liz, about having women in the fire stations, I think we do bring a calming type of effect just in by our natural way, no matter what the job is. And
So I think what I've always, like going through the fire academy and stuff, like they always said, like departments like to, they like to hire people the community can relate with, So like if it's all men, yeah, that's great. And that's what you see on TV. And like, so it is different seeing a female, but you get a little bit more personable. I think for the women, like when we go on medical aids, like people feel a little bit, sometimes the guys are intimidating looking,
Yes.
It's just like all hard and, So I'm in like the west end of Highland. So I'm in the really bad, I'm in the boonies. So we get a lot of domestic violence. We get a lot of like kids that are hurt and, So I think when I show up, like, mostly the women want to talk to me, and like my medic will be like, yeah, just talk to her and we'll talk to the cops and see what's going on, and just relays the message, because sometimes they don't feel comfortable, so I think it would be cool if there was more females. I think for some reason a lot of females don't think that they can do it. I think you can tweak and manipulate your body into like doing just the same exact things as the men, with your own little tricks of the trade. But yeah, I think, station wise, I think women are more direct. So, guys, I truly think that men are more emotional and, they suppress their feelings and then it builds up and then it explodes. I think when I've had my little tiffs with people, I just like straight up ask them and then we talk about it and then it's fine. Yes. Versus like these little exactly. like side conversations. Exactly. Yeah. And it's just like, no, like, let's just talk about it. Like, what is bothering you? Like, I'll find myself like someone relieving me and I'm just like, how's your days off? And like they literally just tell me
like all like vent all their feelings and emotions, and I'm like, well, I like was not expecting that, you know.
That
but
happens to
you
me
know
a lot too.
Yeah, so I just like listen because I'm like, oh, he seems to be having a lot of weight on his shoulders. So I think like we just bring a different flair to it, and I think the guys like secretly appreciate it. I don't care if they don't admit it. Like, I know they do. So
they know that you know that they know that you do.
Exactly. And they have a blast when we have Girls' Day, you know? So
they
never leave having a bad time. So I think it's great.
Brett?
Yeah, just piggybacking off of what you guys said. Like, obviously, we like going to fires, but let's be real, 90% of the time it's a medical aid, and 50% of the time it's a female that we're going to. And I feel like at least once a week, somebody says to me, I'm glad there was a woman here.
Yeah.
That happens like once a week, someone will be relieved that there's a woman on scene and that's doing a 12 lead or whatever it is. Little kids gravitate towards us. I think it's just, I don't know, bring something else to the table when we have a woman on the crew. And like what Megan was saying, it's maybe a little less ego that we bring into the fire station. That we can diffuse certain situations and talk through stuff and not get super emotional and worked up.
Yeah.
And people definitely come to us with a lot of their issues.
So as you move forward and you know, want to be a leader in the fire service, what are some of the things that you think women on calls and that you could move forward? Like if you say become an engineer, what does that look like for you? Do you need more women in the fire service? What are some of those values?
For me, I'm less interested in recruiting and more interested in like the training aspect of things and being a female in training, because I feel like I really, in all the academies and trainings that I've been to, there are so few female representatives in an academy setting. And, you know, whether you're having a platform to speak to anyone or not, I think just being a presence in an academy is enough sometimes for a female fire recruit that's maybe struggling.
Yeah.
And it's easier to talk to women. So for me, that would be my kind of career path. I want to get into taking a lot more classes and training and being that presence. And because women have different techniques in a fire academy, whether it's for other women who aren't as strong as the other guys or the shorter dudes, like we know the shortcuts and the tricks to get us to perform the things that we need to. So I think it's important to have more women in academies than they do right now. Because like I said, I really haven't seen very many in my experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree with Brittany, because Brittany and I actually went to FFA together. We were roomies. So that's how we met. But yeah, like there was no men or no women on any of the cadres. And, you know, we like both of us have already been through like a college academy, and even then no women. But it's just like, yeah, like when the 6'5" guys are just like, yes, you throw a letter as such, and I'm just like, okay, like and I'm yeah, like, all right, I'm the idiot, I guess. Like they're like, why can't you do it? I'm like, oh, all right, like let me try again. But it's just like, yeah, that's true. Like, and I would love to get in training and help with that, because I do think it would have given us a little more confidence, you know.
Instead of feeling like you couldn't do it, you're like, hey, here's some techniques. You absolutely
because they don't know.
Yeah.
They can muscle that ladder, and they can, you know, just pull the hose without jumping on the side, you know, like. If there was somebody there who, because I'm short, I'm 5'3", okay, so it is hard to do some stuff, but so
amen,
I've
sister,
had,
I'm only 5'4".
Yeah, so yeah, if I had someone who, I don't know, had a, like, different body, or similar body mechanics as me, like, I think it would have been a lot easier versus, you know, to just tell me, like, this is, you know, try this versus me having to figure it out like with trial and error and burn myself out, you know. And I'm just like a little bit down because I'm like, geez, why can't everyone else do it? You know, God damn it, why can't I get my knees done so I can do this? You know, like, so it would be great if women were training.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never had a female instructor in any of my academies, and I've been to several. So I agree. If we had more women in the training centers that were there to give a different perspective, you know, that would be amazing.
So as we wrap up, the last thing I'm thinking for women in the fire service, women thinking about the fire service, just give all of you guys, just give some ending comments about maybe some advice for women trying to get in the fire service or some advice for women that maybe already work for Cal Fire.
I got one on that. A couple weeks ago, I went to Ulta and this woman stopped me when I was coming out. She was actually waiting for me. She's a Marine firefighter and wanted my take on Cal Fire. And I gave it to her and how amazing I feel we are as a whole because of what we can do, you know, all the different avenues that there is in our department, the size of our department, where you can work in our department. But my biggest thing that I've always told women is you're not there to prove anything to anybody but yourself. You don't have to try to impress anybody. You don't have to prove to those guys at the station or in your academy that you can do the job. The only person you need to prove anything to is yourself. I said women are stronger than men mentally, and that I believe sometimes is better than strength physically, because we will always find a way. And it's that type of perseverance and dedication that the fire service needs. So that's what I've told women. You're living with your best friend and your worst enemy at the same time. And as long as you're there for the right reasons and able to do the job, there's no reason why anybody couldn't do this job. You know, that's my two cents.
That's awesome. Britt?
Yeah, same thing. This job's hard, like physically, mentally, emotionally, regardless of age, race, sex, or any other demographic. Everyone's going to struggle at one point or another. But for women, prepare to be underestimated, prepare to feel like an outsider, and just use that to prove everybody wrong. Somebody told me a long time ago, the only people who don't make it are the ones that quit. So just if you have your failures, and you will, keep pushing, because nothing goes well. Nothing goes according to plan on scene. So adapting and overcoming is what we got to do every day here.
Any regrets?
So it's not easy. Just keep going.
Any regrets joining the fire service, Britt?
No, because I'm here.
Yeah, so I would just, like, words of advice is just, yeah, never give up. Keep your sights on the finish line, because you will get there, and people are going to tell you, oh, yeah, you probably got that call because you're female. Well, oh well, like, you know, it is what it
oh, well.
Is. Like, I will take my coin. If that's how you feel, like, that's how you feel. Like, but I know everyone's pushing to get more women in the fire service, but I don't think they're just going to pick somebody who's non-deserving. So, you know, just let, like Brittany said, you know, people are going to underestimate you. Like, let them, like, because you know what? And it just makes you look that much better when you achieve the impossible, because they're going to be like, wow, like, you know, I didn't expect you to do that. She's like, okay, well, can we move forward now? Like, okay, yes, let's get back on track. And because you will prove yourself and everyone will see, and then everyone will shut up.
Any regrets putting the fire service, Megan?
No, I think it's super, this is a great fit for me. I honestly, you know, I loved cooking, but this is a lot more fulfilling and fun. And, you know, people do say this is the best job in the world, and it really is. Like, I couldn't even, like, pick anything else that I would do. So I have no regrets, and I look forward to going to work, and I know a lot of people can't say that, so.
I do believe we need more women in the fire service. I think we should be representative of the community. So we hover, like, I think Cal Fire hovers around maybe 5 or 8%, something around there. That's not nearly enough. But at the same time, I want people just to, Angel's point, 1,000,000%. They got to be people who are empathetic. And if the numbers stay, you know, proportionally lower because of that, that's fine. I want empathetic people that care about doing a good job. And I think women do bring a lot to the table. I do feel like as being at the end of my career and seeing, you know, it really just breaks my heart when I hear women still having issues with, you know, being accepted. There still is a mindset, because I talk to a lot of recruits that are trying to get fire service. There's still a huge mindset out there that you have to do double what everyone else does to be accepted. And that is something I think absolutely has to change. You don't have to do double. You shouldn't have to do a double. You do everything that everyone else does. For me, exactly what Angel said, you're there to prove nothing to nobody. And I wish I had a mentor to tell me that early on. Being able to tell women now, you don't have to prove anything to anybody other than yourself, personal best, and the department. That's all you have to prove anything to, not your coworker, but making sure you're doing what the department expects of you and wanting to always improve yourself.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Going Direct. Before you leave, are you an active or retired local 281 member? Did you know that we have a member side of the L281 website specifically for you? There you can find board meeting minutes, chapter and district updates, access to our resource library, view our UnionU videos, and so much more. Go to www.calfirelocal2881.org and click member login to sign up today. Take care.